Only 90 people live in the Aleutian Island community of Akutan, but the village hosts one of the largest fish processing plants in the state. And soon, they may also be home to one of the largest geothermal energy plants, with over $2.5 million from an Alaska Renewable Energy Grant. Akutan is exploring the potential of their active volcano. KUCB's Ann Hillman visited Hot Springs Bay on Akutan Island and has this story.
The village of Akutan is relatively young for the Aleutians. People began settling the island to sell their fish to floating processors and to go to the small store in the early 20th century. Even into the mid-1950s, when most of the country had TV, radio, and access to electricity, the isolated town relied on a makeshift DC hydropower source salvaged from a defunct whaling station. Longtime resident Daryl Pelkey remembers the inconsistent flicker.
In the summertime, when there was a lot of water, like in the spring and stuff like that, the lights were bright, you know. Then when the power or the water started to run low, then the lights would get dim. People would have to start turning off lights and stuff.
They used kerosene lanterns and batteries at other times. No TVs, very few radios. Fast forward 50 years, and the tiny island town is on the cutting edge of technology. Using Alaska Energy Authority grant money, they're drilling two test wells to explore the geothermal potential of Hot Springs Valley.
Just the fact, the obvious things that we know about the resource in this valley leads us to believe that it's a very viable resource and that it will far exceed the immediate needs of the island.
Project manager Robert Kirkman is referring to the 180-degree Fahrenheit hot springs found in the valley and the steam producing fumaroles further up the side of the active volcano. Last year, the project team used magnetotellurgic testing to pick the locations with the best potential for a strong geothermal resource. That's where they're digging the exploratory wells this year. The sites are about 4 miles from town, over steep terrain with no roads. Using helicopters, they fly equipment and men to and from the drilling sites and a base camp set up in the valley.
Any project that you undertake in this particular location is going to be logistically difficult to begin with, but over time the obstacles can be overcome, and I think that the resources will prove itself out to be worth the effort.
At the drill site, rig supervisor David Griggs and his crew work 12-hour shifts, drilling a tube into the ground and extracting a 3-inch diameter rock cylinder.
We send and retrieve tubes all day long and pull core samples out. There's a diamond impregnated bit that rotates around an inner tube that's in an assembly downhole. And as the drill pipe goes down, the rock gets pushed into the core tube and we go down and retrieve it. And every day we go through the same process over and over, pulling these tubes out, sending new ones down.
The muddy-looking fluids that keep the machinery running smoothly are contained in a large lined pit, then reused. The raised platform with the drill and the surrounding tents are dwarfed by the expanse of marshy green tundra and flower-covered hillsides. The drill operators can't see what they're doing down the hole, so they make sure things are going smoothly by watching gauges and listening to the hulking machinery.
It's just got a different whine to it. Sometimes it's real high pitch, sometimes it's kind of low and growly. It depends on the type of bit you're in, the formation you're in. There's so many variables that have to be looked at.
The team extracts 1,500 feet of mud and rock core from each hole. Every inch is examined by geologist Jim Hill. He records what types of rocks he sees at each depth and if they've been transformed by heat.
You know, this is a hot springs area, so we should see the composition of the minerals change. And depending on how much they change and what they change to, can give us an idea of the temperatures that we'll have down at depth.
But some of the rock transformations may just indicate temperature changes in the past. To see current conditions, the project team will measure temperature and pressure readings down the hole for 6 months to a year. Hill says that just because the temperatures are unusually high at the surface, they may not be further down. It depends on the structure of the underground rocks. He says he hopes to find indications of temperatures of at least 300 degrees. What that could mean is at least 10 kilowatts of power for a community and fish processing plant that barely use 7 at present. Mayor Joe Bereskin has high hopes.
I think what we know is there, it's endless what we might be able to do with the geothermal there.
He says the power could be used for heating greenhouses and making fresh produce cheaper for the region, or even pushing the community further onto the edge of technology.
Everybody has a vision, and my vision is if the resources are maybe hydrogen.
He says they could produce hydrogen fuel cells and then easily distribute them. Accutane is on the Great Circle trade route. But Bereskin has little time to dream. In addition to developing geothermal power, the community is also building a new boat harbor and a new airport and new road access to more land on the mountainous island. Community organizations have been pushing for many of the projects since the 1970s. Now, they could all be completed in about 5 to 10 years. It looks like one of the youngest towns in the Aleutians is finally hitting its growth spurt. In Unalaska, I'm Ann Hillman.